The Center for Women's Health in Mississippi becomes a battlefield when George Goodard, a grieving father, transforms an ordinary clinic into a hostage situation. What unfolds in those terrifying hours reveals the complex web of circumstances that brought each person to this moment. Through a reverse chronology that peels back layers of each character's life, we witness how seemingly separate journeys converge in this crisis. The hostages include Joy, a young woman who just had an abortion, Janine, an undercover pro-life activist with her own painful secret, Olive, a professor facing terminal cancer, Dr. Louis Ward, the abortion provider, and 15-year-old Ren, who came for birth control pills. Outside, hostage negotiator Hugh McElroy faces his worst nightmare. His daughter Ren is among those trapped inside. As the day unfolds backward from 5 p.m. to 8 a.m., we discover the thousand shades of gray in these lives that defy black and white legislation and simple moral judgments.
"Don't fuck it up," echoes in Hugh's mind as he faces every hostage negotiator's nightmare. His own daughter trapped with an active shooter. His training feels inadequate against the primal fear coursing through him. George Goodard isn't a typical perpetrator, not a sociopath or calculated criminal, but an ordinary man driven to violence by perceived injustice against his daughter. When Hugh discovers Ren is being held as leverage, he instinctively offers, "Take me instead," paternal instinct overriding tactical training. What makes this standoff poignant is Hugh's realization that he and George aren't so different. Both are fathers who would do anything to protect their daughters. The line between hero and villain blurs as Hugh recognizes their roles might be reversed under different circumstances. As SWAT Commander Quant prepares to storm the building, Hugh fights for more time. "Everyone in there is somebody's kid," Quant reminds him, a truth that cuts through Hugh's tunnel vision and highlights the humanity at stake. Inside the clinic, diverse women challenge our assumptions about abortion. Joy carries the ultrasound of the baby she didn't have, a contradiction reflecting her complex decision. Having grown up in foster care after stabbing her mother's abusive boyfriend, she fiercely guards her independence. When protesters suggest adoption, she demands, "Where the fuck were they when I was in foster care?" Her story shows choices exist within lives shaped by abandonment and survival. Janine initially seems like an undercover pro-life activist, but carries her own secret. At 16, she was raped and terminated the resulting pregnancy. Her activism partly serves as atonement, convincing herself her situation was different. When she and Joy huddle together during the siege, their whispered conversation reveals common ground beneath opposing views. Olive, 68 and facing terminal cancer, shows remarkable courage. Hidden with Ren, she confesses her love for her partner Peg, a relationship kept private. In what may be her final hours, Olive instinctively takes a bullet meant for Ren, proving heroism lies in the split-second choice to protect others.
Beth's story reveals abortion law contradictions. At 17, her legal abortion attempt fails when a judge goes on vacation. Desperate, she orders abortion pills online, resulting in hemorrhaging at home. Now she faces murder charges under Mississippi law, which considers embryos persons under homicide statutes. In the hospital, her defender, Mandy, challenges prosecutor Willie Cork. While Roe v. Wade gave Beth the right to terminate her pregnancy, Mississippi law prohibited her from doing it herself, making it murder. This exposes how law can acknowledge a woman's right while criminalizing certain methods of exercising it. Dr. Louis became an abortion provider after learning his mother died from a botched illegal abortion. Despite daily harassment and death threats, he refuses protective gear, believing women seeking his services deserve the same courage he demonstrates. During a debate with a protester, he argues, "When you say you can't do something because your religion forbids it, that's good. When you say I can't do something because your religion forbids it, that's a problem." Fatherhood, specifically the primal instinct to protect one's child, emerges as the novel's most poignant theme. Hugh and George embody this instinct, though with dramatically different expressions.
Hugh's relationship with 15-year-old Ren forms the emotional core. Their annual Perseid meteor shower tradition symbolizes their bond. During their most recent viewing, Ren catches her father watching her instead of the sky, a silent testament to his devotion. Throughout the crisis, Hugh will sacrifice everything for his daughter. George's protective instinct takes a darker path. Believing his daughter Lil was coerced into an abortion, his violence becomes a righteous crusade in his mind. George recalls his father killing an injured bird, reflecting that violence, from one angle, looked like mercy from another, a disturbing rationalization. Both fathers struggle with their daughter's independence. George treasures memories of braiding Lil's hair, creating sacred time together. Hugh similarly grapples with Ren's catatonomy, particularly her undisclosed decision to seek birth control. As the narrative moves backward from 5 p.m. to 8 a.m., our judgments transform with each new revelation. This structure forces us to reevaluate initial impressions, mirroring how real understanding evolves with context. Janine first appears as a hypocritical pro-life activist, yet when we learn of her traumatic rape and secret abortion, her fierce opposition reveals itself as unresolved trauma and guilt rather than mere politics. George transforms from villain to tragic figure. Initially portrayed as a dangerous extremist, we discover he's a grieving father whose daughter died from abortion complications. His radicalization stems from profound grief and misplaced guilt, showing how tragedy can warp moral reasoning. The clinic's mirrored windows, preventing Hugh from seeing inside while allowing those within to see out, symbolize the barriers between opposing ideological positions in the abortion debate. Dr. Ward's experience treating pro-life women seeking abortions reveals how proximity to difficult situations challenges firmly held beliefs, highlighting the gap between abstract moral positions and lived reality. In the epilogue, Ren changes a protester's sign from "It's a child, not a choice," to simply "choice," symbolizing her understanding that womanhood means owning difficult decisions and one's life path. Each character makes choices reflecting their perspective. George chooses violence to avenge his daughter. Hugh offers himself as hostage. Joy chooses abortion despite religious beliefs. Janine channels personal loss into activism. Olive sacrifices to protect loved ones. The novel explores how these choices intersect, creating complexity beyond simple moral judgments. Through Beth's journey, we see women's autonomy constrained by restrictive laws, controlling family dynamics disguised as love, and oversimplified societal judgments. The final image, Ren holding her father's hand instead of the reverse, represents both her entry into adulthood and their transformed relationship. This role reversal embodies the essential choice we all face, accepting responsibility while maintaining meaningful connections. In our polarized world, perhaps the most courageous choice is resisting simple answers and embracing the messy reality of human experience, defining our lives by how we navigate impossible moments where only the next choice awaits.